Hallelujah. All right, well, if you can see from the from the screens, we're starting a new series today called Arrested. And of course, the subtitle is True Life is Unlocked When the Old Self is Arrested. Now, I have never been arrested ever. So has any of you guys ever been arrested and put in jail? Don't raise your hands. Oh my gosh. Wow. Bud Lively's like, oh, yes, Pastor Phyllis was put in jail once. That's right. That's right. That was amazing. So, for an accident, car accident, did you, was it your fault? It was your fault? Well, you deserve to be in jail then. That's all I can say. You was only there for an hour? Jeez, I love it. That's awesome. Yeah, I've never been arrested, thank God, so that's awesome. But you know, there are several things that does happen in an arrest process. Some of you know what it's like to be, you know, handcuffed by the police, right? Some of you guys know what it's like to be put behind the bars. I can't imagine that it's a good feeling. I can't imagine that it's comfortable. Has to be very uncomfortable for you. So, but when we're arrested, I suppose, now today, obviously, in the world we live in, it's a different story. But most of the time, we're arrested for a reason. A good reason. Right? And arrests are made for the purpose of compelling obedience to the law. That was the original definition of arrest. Today, it's crazy. You know, you get arrested for doing what's right today. It's just so backwards. That's the world we live in. But spiritually speaking, each of us have been arrested by God at one point or another in our lives. Okay? At one point in our lives, we have been made aware of our unrighteousness. We have been aware of our sin. And we have been compelled by the Holy Spirit to come under the obedience of Christ. You and I, everybody can raise their hand because every one of us has been arrested by God. If not, you wouldn't be sitting here today. If not, you wouldn't say, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. You were arrested at some point in your life. God showed you the sin and you did the right thing. You didn't run from it. You didn't try to run from the Holy Spirit, you know. No, you said, I am a sinner and I need Jesus. So we all have been arrested spiritually in our lives or we wouldn't be here today. Amen? That's right. The police represent authority. And in a physical arrest, the police can force an arrest against your will. But when we are placed under spiritual arrest, the Holy Spirit is authorized by Jesus to place you under that spiritual arrest. But it's not a forcible activity. Just like nobody has made you come to church today. Well, maybe your wife did. I don't know. But nobody makes you come to church. Nobody makes you pray. Nobody makes you give. Nobody makes you do any of those things. These are voluntary activities. God is not going to make you be under spiritual arrest. It is an arrest that we have to be willing to submit to. No one made you give your life to Jesus. No one forced you to repent for your sins. The Holy Spirit convicted you. He orchestrated the arrest, but he left it up to us to put the handcuffs on our own sin and say, I am done. I've had enough. I'm not doing this anymore. And by faith, then, we had to try to live the best we can this life that we've been given. It's not easy. It ain't easy living by faith, is it? No, it's not easy at all. Now, there are people who have been arrested for doing bad and evil things and have had to do hard time. And they say prison helped straighten them up, okay? They said that the system woke them up, and prison made them a better person. We hear these stories. But when God arrests us and divinely intervenes in our lives, that moment is so significant that it changed us from the inside out and even the direction that our lives were taking. Amen? Amen? Absolutely. I don't know how many times that I have heard people say, if it wasn't for God, I'd be dead today. Or if it wasn't for Jesus, I don't know where I'd be today. You know, I heard somebody preach and it changed my life. You know, God just did something for me. Those are stories of God arresting us. Hallelujah, amen. Those people like you and I were arrested by God. And here's another story that I wanted you to see on the screens.
My name is Michael Lozoya. I grew up in a home of drug addicts and alcoholics. And I always told myself I was never gonna be that way. And I remember going home one day and my dad was like, where you been at? I need your help with the trucks. Get over here and change these tires. Put on some more dirty clothes. I need this transmission changed. I'm only 13 years old. So I started partying. I started partying hard. My dad was okay with that. So that's what we did. We partied. Every weekend we partied. We smoked weed, do coke. But summer came around. I went back to my hometown. Met baby mama. It's like, how are we gonna do this? How are we gonna make it? The job I had wasn't really making much. And her brothers always came to me with an opportunity to go to Mexico and cross drugs. I said, no, I know the risk. I don't wanna lose my family. And then my baby mama, she was like, do it, we need the money. My father had passed away. We needed stuff for the house. Kids needed clothes for school. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And when I finally crossed, they were waiting for me. And my heart was beating, never been in really trouble. I was scared. I was really scared. And they said, yep, this is the truck we're waiting for. Right there and then I knew it was like, all I thought about my kids, my girlfriend, you know, life is over. I remember going to the shower and crying, punching the wall until my fists were bleeding. And then just one day, a guy across from the cell from me, he says, hey, do you read the Bible? And I was like, no, I haven't read it in a while. You know, I really don't feel God in me. You know, I really don't feel he's with me. And he starts talking to me about God, you know. He started telling me about his life story. Well, I remember a couple days later, I remember picking up my Bible and praying and asking God to just lead me. Well, at that moment, I knew that God was speaking to me because I picked it up and I've been running with it ever since. Well, that day, I remember that altar call. I stood up and I was remembered the only one there that stood up. And I went up there and just bowed and said, I know. I'm tired, Lord. My life is yours. Do what you want. And it was at that moment that everything that I saw, everything I heard, it was different. It was brighter. It was more joyful. You know, my favorite chair is sitting. Jesus just came in and said, you know what? This chair's gone. From now on, you're just gonna be on your knees. I want you to serve me. I want you to serve me and only me. Forget the drugs, forget the loneliness, forget the depression. I am all you need. I felt the peace within me that I've never felt before. You know, it's like I felt free. I know a lot of people say prison saved my life, you know, and I can actually say prison helped save my life. Jesus is the one that saved my life. You know, if it wasn't for me going to prison, I wouldn't have had this relationship with Jesus. I thank God for opening that door and letting me go to prison. You know, it was truly a blessing. I remember I got baptized on May 12th, 2019. And I've been running with it ever since. Yes.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. So prison helped him, he said. But Jesus truly arrested Mike and saved his life, took him down a different path, and made a future for him. So even though he was arrested physically and obviously spiritually, he still had to make the choice to do what was right. No matter the hardships, the depression, the oppression, he had to make the choice, and he did. And God was there when he did. God was there with him in the prison too. You know? So that is an amazing story, that when God arrests us, we need to surrender immediately. Right? Amen. That's absolutely. Another thing that happens in an arrest process, of course, is the fact that you lose your freedom. And I don't mean when you get married, okay? Sorry about that. No, we gain freedom when we get married. Amen? That's right. that was a weak amen out there. Hallelujah. You know, what you are allowed to do when you lose your freedom in jail, it happens with a small little cell. You don't get to do much. But in order for God to get done in our lives what he wants, he will detain us as well. Our freedom, our movement, our mobility must be spiritually restricted. And here's the thing, it may not be a pleasant experience, but we must embrace the challenge of being under spiritual arrest for us to develop our spiritual lives. A great example of this is found in Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 1. So you can turn there if you want to. That'll be on the screens. Luke 4, verse 1, it says this, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry." I bet he was. "He was basically arrested by the Holy Spirit and taken into a place that was less than desirable, a desert, and was restricted, no food whatsoever, for 40 days. And he was tempted spiritually and physically by the devil." I'll bet there was some serious spiritual warfare going on in that desert. But if the Holy Spirit arrested Jesus, well, guess what, folks? And he's going to also put us in spiritual handcuffs as well. Yeah, and lead us where we are supposed to be for our own spiritual growth and development. Hopefully, of course, it's not in the desert for 40 days. Hopefully, it's not food, without food for 40 days. And oh, dear God, we hope to God that it's not taking our cell phones away for a day, let alone a week. Whew. Man, that cell phone is better than food. Another part of the arrest process is the parole board. The parole board. The parole board was established to find out if the prisoner who had finished doing his time for his or her crime is able to re-enter society. They want to know how they have behaved in prison, if there's evidence of any change, and of course, what does their character look like today? We can't become dependent as Christians on our gifts, our talents, or even our anointing, because character to God matters more than any of those things. Our character comes first. I mean, if you're a snake, there ain't no way he's going to use you. No way. Character comes first. And everybody said, amen. That's right, amen. God places us under spiritual arrest to develop our character. Godly character can only be developed in an environment where we again allow the Spirit of God to place us under that spiritual arrest. It won't be easy. It won't be fun. It's going to be a spiritual prison. It might feel lonely. You might think God has abandoned you. Think of how Jesus must have felt 40 days and nights in a desert alone, all by himself. He had to feel alone. Maybe abandoned, I don't know. But it couldn't have been easy. Now listen to what James says here in James 4, 7 through 10. He said, "Therefore, submit to God." Or you could say, let God arrest you. You could say it that way. "Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. And humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and then he will lift you up. That sounds to me like being in the desert for 40 days. That don't sound fun. Amen, kiddo, I know. No way. That sounds haunting. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to arrest you and you lock into him with laser focus, the parole board of heaven says he or she is now ready. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Their character is where it needs to be. The fruit of the Spirit is showing some progress. And it says, then the Lord will lift you up. Galatians 6:9 says, don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap of harvest if we do not lose heart. A lot of us in these dry seasons, I guess that you could call it, we lose heart. Well, where's God at? Well, I thought he loved me. Thought he cared about me. Thought he was here. Thought he'd never leave me or forsake me. I thought if I made my bed in hell, he'll be with me. It sure don't feel like he's anywhere. Don't lose heart. Don't do it. It's no fun lamenting and mourning and weeping and becoming humble. I agree. But it is for a reason. And it is for a season. So I want to show you then how this arrested process works for someone that most of us who are not new Christians know and have read about our whole lives. And for that, we're going to start in Acts, the 7th chapter, and we're going to read verse 51. Stephen, says, was preaching to the religious leaders and other Jews, and he called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit, he says, as your fathers did, and so do you. Man, half of you had already been up and out of here if Stephen was up here on this pulpit. Woo! Now, verse 58, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. The first zombie apocalypse happened right there in the Bible. Man, can you imagine being that angry with somebody that you just started? That's what it said he did, gnashed at them with their teeth. That's crazy. All he did was preach to them, and they became zombies all of a sudden. It's insane. It said, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopping their ears, it says, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named, Saul. Here's where Saul enters the picture. Now here's the deal. These men would not allow the Holy Spirit to arrest them. They resisted his teaching. The teaching of the Word of God will convict you. It will arrest you. But then you have the choice to do with it what you will. Period. What you want. In this case, they unjustly killed Stephen, and now Saul was present at his murder and even condoned it. Now, if we see what's happening today, you watch the television, you see that people would do that to us today if they could get away with it. Oh, absolutely. I mean, if I'd have had time, I'd have thrown some videos up here of just guys and girls minding their own business on a public street, just sharing the gospel. You know, Jesus said, come unto me if you're sick. He said that you need a Savior. And man, people go up to them and spit in their face. I saw one where a guy came up and slapped him across the face. Jesus isn't real! You know, go to blank, go F yourself! I mean, what does that even mean? I don't even understand what that means. You know, stupidity. But they would do that to us today if they could get away with it. Amen? Absolutely, they would. Hallelujah, their intolerance is intolerable, in my opinion. But we know, guys, it's all spiritual. It's all spiritual. I mean, if you're even partly spiritual, you understand that this is a spiritual battle. It has nothing to do with flesh and blood. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Hallelujah. Now let's put this all together in one man, and of course that's called Saul. In Acts 9, verses 1 through 9, we're reading, and again, Saul watches Stephen be killed. He condoned it. And now back in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he trembled and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground and went. And when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank." So what's hilarious to me is Saul was on the way to Damascus to arrest Christians, and he ended up getting arrested by Jesus. Woo, go Jesus. Amen. And then he was blinded. Saul was spiritually arrested. His handcuffs were blindness, and he became imprisoned. He couldn't do anything on his own because, of course, he was blind. He was left alone to think about all the bad things that he had done wrong, I'm sure. And it says that he was praying. What? He was praying? Yeah, we know this because God tells Ananias to go down to the street called Straight because Saul of Tarsus is there praying. Wow, what a change of heart all of a sudden, huh? All it takes is a little blindness and you change everything. Jeez. We even see the parole board, who is God, at work in his life right here. Because in Acts 9:13, it says, Ananias answered. Of course, this is after God said, go down there and see this turkey. Ananias is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, Lord, hold on now. We heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call your name. Or you could say to arrest all who call your name. But the Lord said to him, go. The parole board said, go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, before kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So the parole board of heaven said, let him go. From this day on, he is a changed man. And of course, if we read on, he did. Man, his scales came off, and he stayed with the disciples for a few days. And the Bible says then he immediately started preaching the gospel. Wow, that was 3 days of download from the Lord, that's for sure. Man, that's amazing. But, you know, some people might say, well, okay, Pastor Andy, but you said earlier that the Holy Spirit will not demand something from you, or that, you know, it's up to us to deal with it when we're arrested by him. If you read this, it looked like Jesus gave him no choice. We always have a choice. Always have a choice. Somewhere in that 3 days, he made his choice and he started praying. God arrested him, and it was still up to him to do with it what he wanted to do. He could have cursed Jesus right then and there. How dare you blind me? Let me go. I don't want anything to do with you. He could have done that. It was his choice. And I'm sure Jesus would have let him go. But he started praying. So he took it as, hey, I have messed up bad. He had a choice, and he chose right. We always have a choice. So I want to go back to the statement Jesus said to Saul while on the road. He said, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. A goad is a sharp piece of iron attached to a pole to poke the oxen when they don't move. That's all it is. That's what they call a goad. Or they call it pricks too. And some versions call it pricks. Hard to get, hard to kick against the pricks, hard to kick against the goads. But that's what a goad right there looks like. Sometimes then the ox would kick back at that goad and then they would hurt themselves. Jesus was telling Saul, listen, let me arrest you. Quit resisting the pricking, the conviction. You got to remember, he was there. He listened to Stephen preach. He listened to it all and he refused it. He denied it. He rejected it. So God was pricking him there. He was goading him right there. And he wouldn't give in. Not at all. So we should just obey and do what we are supposed to do. Allow the Holy Spirit to arrest you, and you will go forward in your walk with God and in your destiny. It's no different than when we were growing up and mom and dad said to do something and we didn't want to do it. I didn't want to clean the room. I messed it up, but I didn't want to clean it up. And then all of a sudden, sometimes a fight ensued. Man, some of you guys understand. Why didn't we just clean the dumb room up? We'd have got to go out on the weekend if we would have done it. You know? So we just need to do it. But you know, even in the old covenant, the people were hard and stubborn. I mean, God said, you people are hard-headed. You're stubborn. We do not need to be stubborn. Just do what he says, even if we don't understand it. Even though it's gonna hurt. Even though it's gonna take a long time. Even though it's not gonna be fun, easy, comfortable. But it's for our own good. Hallelujah. Amen. When you won't allow the Holy Spirit to arrest you, you are kicking against the goads. That sharp iron, and you're only hurting yourself. The goad of the Holy Spirit doesn't just want you to move, but he wants you to move in the right direction. He knows the future. He knows where we're going to go, where he wants us to go. So if we want to go this way, and he doesn't want us to go that way, listen, he's going to prick you a little bit. Well, quit pricking back, because you're only hurting yourself. He knows. He doesn't want to do anything bad for us. And yet the Bible says that wide is the path that most people go. Narrow is the path that only few go. What path you want to be on? Anybody want to be on the wide one? I'll pray for you right here in a second. I want to be on the narrow path. Hallelujah. Amen. When we resist, we are inevitably going to do things or be in a place we are going to end up reaping things we really would not have had to reap if we would have just allowed the Holy Spirit to arrest us and do what he said to do. We all have been there. If I went out and asked every one of you, what have you done that you shouldn't have done, that you knew you weren't supposed to do because God arrested you, but you went over that line and did it anyway, you would have a story. Maybe not Nicole, because she's pretty perfect, but all the rest of us, we'd have a story. I always say she was born saved. Sheesh. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's a good thing. Praise the Lord. All right. So while Saul was being arrested by God, in his blindness, God actually gave him new sight and then gave him a new direction. New sight, new direction. When we give our lives to Jesus, we have a new sight. And then he gives us a new direction. Hallelujah. Amen. But a lot of us, we don't yield that direction until we're sick. We do what we want to do our whole lives until we're sick. Man, I know some people that, man, they were witness to their whole life. But they didn't do anything. They said no. But then when sickness came on them, I think I want Jesus. Exactly. Exactly. You know, we don't want to yield until we do something wrong. We get caught doing something. Then we're going to yield. When we get in trouble or when there's nowhere to turn, I think I'm going to turn to Jesus now. Man, but look at all the hurdles that you have to go over now. When if you'd have just listened, just submitted, just gave in, when you were supposed to, those hurdles wouldn't be there. I don't want to go over all these hurdles. I don't want to learn from my mistakes. I want to learn from David's mistakes. Yeah. How about you? I don't want to learn from my mistakes. I want to learn from Ray's mistakes. Yeah, absolutely. But it's best to learn from other people's accomplishments too. That's where it's at. Hallelujah. Y'all are quiet this morning. Are y'all arrested or something? Has God arrested your mouth this morning? Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Over Paul's ministry, he was physically arrested lots of times and was a prisoner or being imprisoned for over 6 years of his ministry. 6 years of his ministry, he was either imprisoned or prison, or in prison. Now, he followed God fully, as we read, and he could have been pretty discouraged by this. I would have been discouraged. I'm doing what you called me to do, God. I'm on that new path, and here I am getting arrested just by preaching the gospel. What is going on? Yeah, absolutely. He could have felt that he's being delayed for his ministry. I'm stuck in this prison. I need to be out there witnessing, out there healing, setting people free, talking to the churches because, man, they're getting messed up. I need to get out there and talk to these guys. Straighten yourselves up. He could have felt like that. But all of the imprisonments were a part of God's purpose. Sometimes God will arrest us to keep us still. We like to call them seasons, as I mentioned earlier. When we don't feel God or hear God or even wonder if he's there or care about us, why are you delaying me? Why won't you give me a different direction? Why are you quiet? In those times, he is working things out in us, around us, through us, and preparing us for the next steps that he wants us to take. That's what he's doing. Remember, God's thoughts and ways are higher than our thoughts and our ways. And he accomplishes his purpose in us the way he wants to. Right? The way we could never even think of. Even though Paul was arrested and was just sitting in prison, it caused him to do one thing. Write. And he wrote a lot. Absolutely. He was fulfilling God's call on his life by writing letters. And those letters are what you and I call the New Testament. Wow. He was in God's purpose. He wrote most of the New Testament, as a matter of fact. What looked like hindrances was a part of God's greater plan. Paul had reached more human beings while he was arrested through his letters than he could have ever done on his own out hitting the streets. Because even today, everybody that opens up the New Testament and reads, wow, it changes their lives. Changes their lives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Although we were arrested in our sin and we chose to repent, we will be arrested by the Holy Spirit more than one time in our lifetimes in our Christian walk. At any time, God can arrest us, arrest our flesh. He does that a lot. He can arrest our minds, our habits, our motives, our actions, and he can even arrest our tongue. And Lord, we want him to do that more often. And we need to put in, an additive. I know we're not supposed to add to the scripture, but we need to add, and our thumb. We need to arrest our thumb from Facebook and Twitter. And I didn't hear an amen on that. Jesus tells the disciples in Mark 13:11, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Woo! So God can even arrest our tongue. God arrested Elizabeth's husband's tongue when he wouldn't believe that they were going to have a baby. You know, you doubt? Bam! Tongue shut. For months, that brother couldn't talk. God will rest your tongue too. Our lives will be full of interruptions. We might wonder at times or have wondered, why is God allowing these hindrances in my life? But we have to remember that God has a plan, and you and I are part of that plan, whether we think so or not. Remember, we make plans, but what does God do? He orchestrates the paths. We make the plans, but God orchestrates our paths. But see, as Christians, we just want to play checkers. I mean, I like checkers. I understand checkers. I'm simple-minded. I just want to, oh, this looks good to me. This is safe for me. I like this. Oh, you know what? Okay, I'll take a risk. I'll go right here. This is nice. I like that. This is good. Okay, I can do that, Lord. No problem right there at all. Oh, I can see where I'm going here. I think I'll do this. This is great. Checkers, easy game, simple. We can deal with it. Oh, we don't go backwards, though, in checkers. Nope, nope, nope. But see, God's not playing checkers with our lives. God plays chess with our lives. Does anybody know that? It seems like sometimes we're just pawns. You know, he plays chess. It's like, I want to do this, and he goes, what? Wait a minute, what just happened? I wasn't going this way. I didn't plan on going this way. Whoa! What are you doing, God? This is not what I wanted. We play checkers and God plays chess. I never wanted to go to Africa. Never. I hid from it. I ran from it for years. Pastor would get upset with me. No, I'm keeping McDonald's in business, Pastor. I'm good. You do it. You and Eric just rock and roll. I said, nope, won't do it. 2014, I did it. I wanted to play checkers and God went, phew, bam. Okay, I'll go. And I did it, and wow, did it change my life forever. I never wanted to be a pastor. No way. I didn't want to be a children's pastor. Look what your kids have done to me. 15 years in children's pastor. Never want to be a senior pastor. Are you kidding me? No way. I don't want to be up here now. But God has called us to this place. He's playing chess with us when we just want checkers. Listen to him. Do what he wants us to do. Hallelujah. God is not just in the good things that happen to us either. He is also in the bad things as well. Not that he orchestrates them, but he is there in them and helping us through them when they happen. Hallelujah. Paul was not the only person who had plans that were interrupted. Think about the children of Israel enslaved for 400 years, arrested for 400 years because of their sin. David killed Goliath, becomes famous, and yes, he even got the girl. But then later we find him hiding, running in a cave from King Saul because he was going to kill him. Joseph finds himself thrown into a pit. And of course, into slavery because he was daddy's favorite son. Man, I'll never tell my kid which one is my favorite. It's actually my dog, but I'll never tell the kids that. Midnight's my favorite kid, but I'll never tell the kids that. He didn't do anything wrong. He just told his boys, you're my favorite, bro. And bam, wow, what a life. And then if that was not bad enough, he was falsely accused and arrested and thrown in prison for years. Thank you, Lord. I'm living right, and this is what you gave me. Elizabeth was barren for decades. For decades. Wanted a baby, but then all of a sudden, John the Baptist came along. Peter and John were just on their way to church on a Sunday morning like we are today. Just strolling along. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. They get ready to go to the church doors, and there's a dude sitting there, been there every day for his whole life. He's never been able to walk his entire life from birth. Yo, what's up? Hey, what are you doing today? Yo, man, listen, I need some money. Buddy, we're married, bro. We ain't got no money. My wife took mine last week. But we have something else. We got the power of God in us. And we're going to give you that. And bam, he was healed instantly. Get up and walk. He got up and walked. They're just on their way to church. They were playing checkers. Whoop, 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 whoop. Pray for this guy. This is great. And all of a sudden, bam, the chessboard comes into play. They end up getting arrested. spending the night in jail for healing someone. Are you kidding? And then having to stand in front of the Sanhedrin. It'd be like standing in front of everybody that politically is very popular. That was God's plan for them. They didn't know that at the time. But then they got to tell all those people, if you read it, in Acts 4:10, it says, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified," boy, they had to put that in there. I would have too. "Whom God raised from the dead," ha ha ha, put that in there. "By him, this man stands here before you whole." Boom, mic drop, we're out of here. They didn't have any of them plans. They were just going to church. God had another plan, and they followed it. It wasn't easy being in jail. It wasn't easy standing in front of those guys who could condemn them. They wanted to. They wanted to, like, kill them. Whoa, but everybody knows this miracle. We can't do that. Let's just give them a hard sterning. Don't preach Jesus again. Yeah, okay, see you guys. We just never know how God is going to use us, do we? We don't. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus, this morning. You're so worthy to be praised. God, you're so worthy. Allow yourself to be arrested by the Holy Spirit. Allow him to guide you with the Holy Ghost goat, is what I call it. Goad. The Holy Ghost goad. Bam. Let him do that. Remember, he isn't just wanting you to move, but he's wanting you to move in the right direction. Let him play chess with you. Hallelujah. We're his anyway. Are we not? We make the plans, but he gives us where he wants us to go. We're not our own. We've all been bought with a price. We're not our own anyway. We belong to him. As the tagline says for today, true life will be unlocked when your old self is arrested. But it will be like, it will be a life that God has for you and not your own. It'll be what he wants for you, not the one that we have for ourselves. Every week we do this because if tomorrow is going to end and after the eclipse, 3 days, we're all gone, the earth is over, jeez, you need to know where you're going. Right? We are not promised tomorrow. A good member of our church, been a member for, 27 years. Bob Jolliffe is his name. Went home to be with the Lord 3 days ago. 3 days ago. He got up with his wife. He got her some coffee. They went back in the bedroom. They turned on the TV and they were watching the news and they were talking to each other. And bam, he was gone. Wow. She said he was healthy as a horse. Never took a drug, never took any medicine his whole life. Ate right, did right. Carrots and broccoli and celery. Blech. And bam, gone instantly. Went to be with the Lord. We don't know. We don't know what's happening tomorrow. Listen, don't be like Saul and kick against the goads. Don't be kicking against the Holy Spirit this morning. He's convicting you. Of course he is. Just plead guilty and throw yourself at the mercy of the judge. And his name is Jesus. Amen? It's not about us. Not about me. It's about you and him. You and him alone. We're just here as family to help you along. To help each other along. That's what we do. The Holy Spirit is wanting to arrest you. We all have fallen short of God's glory. So it's up to you now to do what you want with what you've heard today, with that goad prodding you. What are you going to do? If you're here and you don't know Jesus, but you want him, then I ask you to come down here right now. We're going to pray. Remember, I don't ask long. You either know or you don't. God's been convicting you the whole time. But you have the right to say no. And go. Anybody at all? Ask your neighbor, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Do you want Jesus? I'll go down with you. Anybody here at all? Anybody here? Once, twice, three times a lady. No, sorry. Everybody's heart's clean, pure. Let's pray. Prayer team, come on down. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you. Man, we thank you for the word. Oh, we thank you for the word of God. Without it, we'd be lost, Lord. Thank you for the life and the Zoe that it brings to our lives. The conviction that it brings to our lives. Oh, that sharpens us, God. Makes us whole. It leads us and guides us into everything that's life, to everything that's purpose, what you have for us. God, I thank you for healing, God, today in this house. Healings, Father, all across this sanctuary. Thank you, angels, for ministering to people now, right now in Jesus' name. Healing hearts, healing minds. People that are sick, Lord God, I thank you for healing right now being ministered to them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for healing bodies. Hallelujah. Legs, backs, prostrates. God, I thank you for healing right now in Jesus' name, God. Oh, we give you praise for it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're worthy to be praised. God, we thank you for this week. We thank you for all your saints, Lord, as they come and go, that you give them the opportunity to witness, the opportunity to talk about you, Lord Jesus, sowing seeds all across their cities, their counties, their neighborhoods this week. God, I thank you, Father, that they're blessed wherever they go. And Lord, they're blessed to be a blessing. We give you praise today for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. We love you guys. We'll see you Wednesday night. Hallelujah.